Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is now, of course, the fallout of the LeBron stuff, the things that he said last night about contemplating retirement, what he told Dave McMenamin about how it's just something he has to think about, whether he's done, whether last night was the last we'll see of him, not just like I said it was the last we're going to see of him in the Western in the conference finals, but I didn't know it was going to be the last we'd see of him ever. Like, nobody saw that coming. So this was a bit of a curveball for a lot of people, a bit of a bombshell last night after the game. And everybody has all these different conspiracy theories on why he did it, because he's always got something going on. I just don't know if right after a game in the heat of a battle, you're walking off the court and you're in your head going like, all right, here's how I'm going to play it. Like, I just don't know if he's doing that. I actually do think that he was just being honest, like genuine in that moment, and just revealing some of the emotions of losing and just being tired. And my foot's all banged up. And I don't know if this team is going to be good enough to win a championship. And as he said after the game, he's not about like, oh, conference finals, that was nice, that's a good year. Like, he's not about that life. He's about more than that. He's about winning championship life. That's what he's about. And so is he like just the reality of looking around going, you know, I don't want to be a mortal. I don't want to be just a simple mortal player. I want to be the immortal. I want to be the guy, the otherworldly. If you can't play like a god, what are you playing for? Like, in his head, that's what he's thinking. Like, some players can just evolve into, you know, a good role player. Like, Jason Kidd's last year was with the Knicks. Jason Kidd is one of the all-time greats. Jason Kidd was a shell of himself in the second half of that season. Could barely move. But in the first half, he knew where to be. You could see the IQ was there, the smarts, all that stuff. Like, that's fine. But in the end, there was nothing left. He knew, like, I'm done. Like, it's time. For LeBron, like, he can't, like, Kidd wasn't a main piece at the start of the season, but he could still be a really good supporting role guy around good players and then contribute with the high IQ, the smarts, the nowhere to be. Like, LeBron is too good of a player to become a role player. Like, you can't be that. Like, Carmelo Anthony, who retired yesterday. Melo eventually became a guy who came off the bench, and he can still get you some points. Like, that's, he evolved into that. And LeBron can't be that. Is that what we're looking for? We want to watch LeBron do that? Nobody wants to see LeBron do that. So that's, I think, where he's at in his head, is what am I going forward? What's this team going forward? What's it going to take to win a championship? And if I'm not really able to win a championship, why am I playing? I think all that stuff is in his head. So it's fair. But how about this? And you know this always happens. So he says all this stuff, and we're all now trying to find ways to react. What do we say? What's the take? You know, we did that on Get Up. We had our meetings. We talked about, like what are we going to all talk about? Like, what's the thing to say? And that's what I said. I said LeBron proved last night that he still can play at a high level, but he can't do it for a full game. And that's got to be something that he's got to seriously think about. Do you really want to continue a career where you become mortal? And now I'm seeing other people, because that's our business, is we just keep trying to, how do we advance the cause? And first of all, there's now, of course, all the betting websites are coming out with LeBron's next team. And which team do y'all think has the best odds to land LeBron James? If you could guess the one team that odds makers would want to put out there for people to put money on, what would be that team? Dino, I know you didn't see it, so I'm just going to ask you, if you could guess, what team would you think that everybody would get everybody talking as the team favored to land LeBron if he decides, I really don't want to stay in LA and play for the Lakers anymore. I want to go somewhere else where I have a chance to win a championship. What would that team be?
That sounds very Knicks.
It sounds very Knicks, doesn't it? Very Knicks. Jacob, right? Knicks? It sounds very Knicks, doesn't it?
Very on brand for
them. Like, I know we're surprised it's not the Pelicans or you know, the Hornets, right? Like, it's shocking.
But I was leaning Grizzlies, but I think it's very Knicks.
Right, leaning Grizzlies of all teams. Like, he's not going to go to Portland and maybe, you know, pair up with Dame Lillard. You sure? Of course, Knicks. Of course. And why do these sites do this? Why does a site that, and I'm not going to name them, why does a site that is all about betting put this out there? To do what? To make you bet? No. To make you talk about it. To make you talk about them. That's what it's about. So that's going to be the conversation. So everybody, like, I actually got a couple of texts from Knicks fans during the break, and they were just like, please, no. Like, tell me this isn't true. I'm like, what do you mean true? He's not going anywhere. His empire is in L.A. He went there for that reason, to set himself up. He's not picking up and moving now. That's not happening. So, like, don't buy into all that. Then I saw something else that turned into a whole, well, the Lakers, if they want to rebuild, they got to trade Anthony Davis. They should trade him to the Knicks. And if LeBron retires, Anthony Davis should be traded while he still has value. The Knicks have all these draft picks. Perfect way for the Lakers to reset. Trade Anthony Davis to the Knicks. Anthony Davis is 30 years old, plays older. Do you want him on the Knicks? Like, again, this is all hypothetical, but is that what we're doing? You're giving up draft picks for him. That's the direction you're going in. And then you try to, like, sell the idea of him and Jalen Brunson. That's, again, I'm not buying it. Let's remember he's clutch. Rich Paul, LeBron, that's that whole thing. Not happening here in New York. Not happening. But it's just what happens, though, when these things go on. It always becomes, how do we find a way to get the New York market involved and get them in a frenzy about what they could do? And they should trade this, and they could do that. And everybody gets excited about it. And I'm telling you, this is what happens. This is how they play you. Don't buy into it. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls. Right. We did play this game before. So I'll set it up and then we'll go through it. So with the Nuggets making the finals last night, you now have a ridiculous, silly record that is basically just, speaking of, you know, degrees of Knicks, is this is now the 77th straight year. So basically all the way back to the start of the league, 1947, that a former, current, or future Knick is in the finals. This year, it's DeAndre Jordan who is on the Denver Nuggets. And DeAndre Jordan had in 2019, he had that little cup of coffee at the end of the season when the Knicks were moving pieces to get cap space so they can get Kevin Durant, and they got DeAndre Jordan in the deal. And so DeAndre Jordan was a part-time Knick for just basically a couple of months, and now he plays for the Nuggets, so that keeps the streak. What I said was, who was the guy last year that was in the finals that kept the streak going? We go to Mizzle in the car. Go ahead, Mizzle.
All right. You got me. You can hear me?
I got you.
Yo, first and foremost, Allen and Bart, I know Bart's not there today. Yep. Y'all my favorites, but I got the answer for you. The answer is Luke Kornet, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Luke Kornet for the
Luke
Celtics.
Luke Kornet, man.
Hilarious, right? Like, Luke.
Yeah.
Like the funny thing is that the fact that you would remember that is hysterical, but that, thank you, Mizzle. Like, that's Luke Kornet. That's what keeps lists like this going, because I'll go through it. So, Luke Kornet, the year before that, was Bobby Portis. He was with the Bucks at the time. Remember Bobby Portis, short term with the Knicks. Then in 20 in the bubble, J.R. Smith. Remember, that was I think that was the last year J.R. played. The Lakers won the championship. In 2019, the Raptors had Jeremy Lin on their roster. So Jeremy Lin was an NBA champion. And then in 18 in Cleveland, you go with J.R. again. Matt Barnes was on the Golden State Warriors in 2017. A lot of people don't remember this. Matt Barnes was a Knick. I know, right? You didn't even know that. Channing Frye, David Lee, Tony Douglas. Tony Douglas won a championship with the Heat in 2014. Tony Douglas. Eddie Curry, yes, in the finals, 2012 with the Heat, believe it or not. Tyson Chandler. Nate Robinson in 2010 on the Celtics. Trevor Ariza. Eddie House was a Knick. Jackie Butler. You're like, who? Yeah, Jackie Butler was a Knick. Michael Doliak. This is what we're doing. Like, you're going to get names like that. It's hilarious. I want to find, like, one of these names where you're like, I didn't even know that guy existed. But it's true. So there's actually championships with Rick Carlisle on the Celtics, where he was in the finals. And Rick Carlisle was a Knick at short term at some point. Greg Kite somehow was a Knick. I don't know how. Lonnie Shelton. Like, looking at these names just makes you laugh. But that's how you keep a streak like that going. Simple as that. Trevor in Jamaica. Trevor.
Alan, what's going on, brother?
How are you?
So before I get to my point, I've been listening to you the whole month, man. I've been trying to get in contact with you to call in, but, you know, it's always busy. A very popular show.
I got you, man. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, though.
So before I get to the point, I just want to say, when you were doing that themes in the beginning of the month, I was on call and tell you Naked Gun. That was one of the original movie themes I would put up there.
Naked Gun. That's true.
Anyway,
let me get to my point. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Let me get to my point. So Carmelo Anthony, for sure, definitely Hall of Famer. That without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. He's first ballot.
But for him to be retired in the rafters, that's something special, man. That's like somebody who brings championship to your team. The reason I'm saying this is because I would compare him to almost like DeMar DeRozan when he played for the Raptors. In a sense, he took your team far. He took your team, you know, he led records and everything. Mm-hmm. But he never got you to the hump. They had to find somebody else to get past. I mean, would you think they would retire DeMar DeRozan number as a Raptor? Or you think they would retire him at all? You think that he never got you to that thing, like Kawhi Leonard got you there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are you retiring Kawhi Leonard's jersey? He was there for a year. Like, I don't know if you're retiring his jersey either, right? But he led you to a championship. You know, those are debatable things, right? But I don't know if it has to be that he won you a championship or got you to a championship. I mean, longevity is first and foremost. So that's the key. You've been there for a long time. And during that time, the team was very successful. And then, preferably during that time, you at least played for a championship. That should be the requisite to have your number in the rafters or your number retired. It has to be part of a great era, and you did great things. Patrick, 15 years as a Knick. They got to two finals. You know, they won every year. They won, you know, 50 games a year. They were always an elite team, and he was always an all-star and one of the best players. That's a long time to be great. So that's what made that one a no-brainer. Melo was a little bit shorter term, of course, and the playoffs were just 3 years. And so there's reasons why you could say, I don't know if it really meets all the criteria. But you could say for this generation, he was the best player that they have had in this century, which is crazy to say. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch.
Hey, how's it going? Alan, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
First thing, you can also put Kawhi Leonard, maybe retire his number as a Clipper, but I don't know if he has enough games. What a load management.
He's got to play. Yeah.
Got to play first. Denver's really got a little lucky, but they got four good plays. I didn't think it'd be stars. I don't really have the cap to sign all of them. Free him from just drafting. And Gordon was a great trade.
Yeah, Porter Jr. fell to them, remember, in the draft because of the back issues. Nobody wanted to touch him, and they had to live with it early part of his career. He never played. So there were times where it looked like that was a terrible pick, but they waited it out. I guess that's the lesson with Denver, is the patience that they showed. And Mike Malone talked about that. Hey, look, I'm not trying to doubt. In Denver, you can probably do this and get away with it. But they did. They lived through the Murray injury, and they hung on to him. We told that story yesterday. And, you know, you just stay with him and you believe in him. And Porter Jr. is another one. You draft him, which is sort of a gamble, but you could because you drafted him. He was in the teens by the time he fell. This is a guy that was a top 3, top 5 talent in that draft, and he tumbled. There was some talk that he could go number one, but the back injury had everybody worried. And then it proved to, you know, proved to be true because he just wasn't available early in his career. It took him a couple of, I believe it was like at least one surgery and a lot of rehab, and they finally got him right. And he's been a really good, productive player, not a star. Now, he was projected to be a star, but he's not that. But still, very good player. So the pick all these years later ends up being a good pick. Murray, remember, it was the pick they got from in the Melo deal. That's the story there. That's what I think ties this whole thing together. Jokic, he was a second-round pick. Nobody knew what the hell he was. You just nailed – you nailed a pick that no one had any idea. No one had a clue he was that good. They didn't even know he was that good. So that's one that was like a blessing. It just fell upon you. And you got lucky. But that wasn't like some pick that everybody saw that. That's not Luka Doncic. He just became one of the best players in the league out of the blue. Got himself into shape, had a little something about his game, and it just has blossomed beautifully for them. I mean, the rest of the team, Gordon was a good, you know, again, a really smart trade that fit. They've made other really smart trades. KCP was a smart trade. Bringing a guy like that in was something that they needed. Guys off their bench, it's like all the different pieces. Bruce Brown, like that's a good piece of how they want to play. And as I've said, that's how you build teams. That's how you build a team. If you find one or two stars, you're lucky. And then from there, you build around it. Now, you know, right now, if you look around the league, there's some teams that thought they had something built that now might be in a little bit of turmoil. And that's the other thing. You take advantage of teams like that when panic starts to set in with some of these teams. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue with the calls. And as I said, we're just keeping an eye on things. OTAs with the Jets. If you're just joining us, there's a little stuff going on. So we begin with the start of the show. Aaron Rodgers was out warming up. All these great videos are showing of him out there on the field. It's like it's really real. And then all of a sudden there's talk about him favoring his ankle and he's talking with the trainer and he's not really doing anything. That was first panic. But he stays out there. You know, that's the good news. But then there's another thing about Alan Lazard and he goes down and had to be helped up. He had walked off the field with the trainer, and that sounded like panic city once again. But the good news is he's back out, participating in 7-on-7s. So all I'm saying is it's May, and it's already starting. Guys, like this, get ready for this, because this is what we're going to be doing. You think it's bad now, it's OTAs. This is nothing. This is jogging around, throwing football. Like this is backyard stuff, and we're already like freaking out. Can you imagine when we get to training camp on the day-to-day basis, the stuff that we're going to be like every time, just flinching at every tweet that might have to do with a player getting injured? That's how delicate this whole situation is. But we signed up for it, right? This is what you wanted, right? I know this is what I wanted. But still, had everybody freaked out. But there's another story that is worth getting to on this whole thing, which involves Mekhi Becton. And Mekhi Becton, if you remember recently, was critical. Newsday had a story, I think it was like last weekend, that he was critical of the decision that the coaches made. And you guys have heard Bart bring this up before, where they moved him around and they moved him to right tackle last year. Remember, Dwayne Brown came in. They put on right tackle and it led to him getting, you know, the knee issue once again. And the quote that he had involved just how he felt it was the coaches knew, but they put him there. And he said he wasn't comfortable, and they told him to fight through it and play through it. And he knew that knee was going to go, and it went. And he had a problem with that. Now, Robert Saleh was then asked about this, about, okay, well Mekhi Becton wasn't happy that you put him on the right side, and that he feels that it led to him missing the whole season with another knee injury, and that he tried to go to you guys and you wouldn't listen. So he pointed to the coaches and blamed the coaches for why he missed a whole season, and now why we look at him and think, can this guy ever stay healthy? And Saleh had a response with the media when asked about this, and he talked about how, you know, he said it's not about finger pointing, and he said, though, that he's focusing more on how Becton has really worked hard to get to the right weight and everything else. We got the sound. All right, let's play Salah in the response to the Mekhi Becton criticism of the coaches.
I'm not going to get into the negative of all of it, because if you talk to 10 people, it's not about finger pointing. What I'm focused on, though, is over the last 6 months, Mekhi has done an unbelievable job getting his weight down towards a healthy weight that's sustainable. He's been available during OTAs. He's been prompt and very diligent with regards to meetings. He's probably the best shape of his life. He's got a smile on his face, and he's attacking it, and that's what's most important. Whatever happened in the past happened in the past, and it's not about finger pointing. It's just about moving forward. And if he keeps approaching this offseason the way he has, and he keeps attacking it the way he has, excited to see what he does with his fourth year.
Listen, I mean, this is a big offseason for him because it's payday time, right? So he needs to be healthy. He knows it. And the Jets need to be healthy because of Aaron Rodgers, of the offensive line is the biggest question. We talked to Mike Tannenbaum yesterday. Biggest question mark about this Jets team is going to be their offensive line, the depth, their ability, you know, to sustain injuries and continue to be an effective unit. That's been their problem the last couple of years. Now here's what Becton said. He said, it made no sense to put me at right tackle. It hurt my right knee. That's going to be the knee that I put the most pressure on. And I explained it to the coaches, but nobody cared. He said, I got forced to play a position I don't play. And then when I pretty much was telling them I wasn't feeling good the whole time throughout camp, and I was told I shouldn't be complaining. Go out there and do it. I was limping throughout the whole practice. I just took a step, and my knee buckled. I got hurt again and had to get reconstructive surgery. So, okay, he's made it clear. I don't want to play right tackle. That's what led to my injury. That's not who I am. Robert Saleh talked about how great Becton has been, and he's done everything we've asked, and we're really looking forward to it. But when asked directly, the coach was asked directly, okay, so Becton wants to play left tackle. Where's he going to play? Here's what Saleh said.
He knows. You know, I think Dwayne Brown has something to say about it. I think Max Mitchell has something to say about it. I think the young kid Carter Warren that we drafted. Am I forgetting somebody? Who else out there? I'm sure I'm forgetting. What's that?
Billy.
Yeah, Billy. So the good thing is that we have a lot of really good tackles right now that are competing to be one of the five or one of the two tackles that are on the football field. So it'll be a good, healthy competition, and those who attack it with the right mindset will end up reaping the benefits.
So he's just talking about a competition. He's not handing Becton anything. So it sounds like it's going to be up to Mekhi Becton to earn the left tackle job. If he doesn't want to play the right side, show me how bad you want to be on the left side. That's a storyline to watch throughout the offseason, and especially once training camp begins.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Carmelo Anthony, do you or do you not retire his number at the Garden? I will say this. Like I said, the owner loves him. And so that's always something that, you know, plays into this. If they want to honor him, if that's what they want to do, you know, that's just something that's going to happen. I'll leave it like this. If you asked me, would you do it? I would say no. I probably wouldn't. But I would honor him in some way. Some way, somehow. But if the owner came and said, I want to put his number up in the rafters, it's not like I wouldn't fight it, because it's not like a ridiculous notion. You could. seventh all-time scorer in the history of the franchise. This guy, like, he's, you know, he's done some stuff. And then I would probably add to it, if you're going to do it, 30 needs to go up for Bernard King. And you do that. And those two have been connected anyway. So why not? You know, if you're going to do it, then that's how you do it. And you honor him as well. 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll get back to your calls and whatnot. But right now, you know it's the time of the show. We step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
I love when Dina Hand does it. There's like a little something extra to it. All right, so let's see. Celebrate some birthdays today. How about Buck Showalter? Turns 67 years young today.
You can't get mad at the Cookie Monster.
You can't. Can you get mad at him and how things have gone for the Mets of late? Rocky start, injuries, everything else. Now, right, got turbulence, got through it a little bit, balancing the plane now, and start a series with the Cubs today. So happy birthday to Buck Showalter. You know who else celebrated a birthday? This was yesterday, celebrating his 62nd birthday. I'm sure he loves the fact that I put that out there. But also celebrating back-to-back Emmy Awards for the best play-by-play man in the business.
Randall pulls back. Read on him. Randall, step back three. Bang! Julius Randall with 51, and the game is tied.
The great Mike Breen. The bang. The great signature call. Of all the different calls, remember, Marv really had yes, right? That was everybody in one generation. Everything was yes. And it counts. Like, we all had that kind of imitation of him. And Mike's call, like, bang, like, that's an intensity. And Jamal Murray looked to the broadcast booth last week. I think it was game two. And yeah, and like, did like mouth the word bang towards that. Like, it was phenomenal. It just shows you the back of my mind. Well, Mike Breen's here. I'm going to get to hear that. Like, I mean, we have Michael Kay, of course. See ya. Like, there's different calls. Is there one in particular that stands out to you? Is there the one that, like, you still, like, every time you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah. Like, love that call. And I mean, it's a signature call. Like, what's the one that sticks with you when it comes to either home run call, goal call? Like, Sam Rosen, for all the Ranger fans out there, like, that's something in my household, all Ranger fans. I know I'm the black sheep, but everybody else is a Ranger fan. And Sam Rosen's, when the Rangers score on the power play, it's a power play goal. Like, that's a signature call when the Rangers score on the power play. So if you have one, love to hear it. 800-919-3776. But congratulations once again to Mike Breen, and a happy birthday, belated. And a happy birthday to Buck Showalter as well. All right, moving on. This is I don't know if it's a funny story. It's not necessarily funny, but it's more like, how often does this happen? And how could it possibly have happened again? So last week, a Diamondbacks pitcher hit and killed a bird warming up in the outfield before a game against the A's. Matter of fact, he threw a curveball. Bird just happened to perfectly come by, nailed him, and killed the bird. Now, you remember all these years ago, Randy Johnson had this happen where he threw one of his legendary fastballs just as a bird flew in front of the plate, and it just burst, like, there's feathers everywhere. But that was 2001. This that I told you about, that happened last week. Then yesterday, believe it or not, in Cleveland, this happens.
Left-hand hitter stands very tall at the plate, and he grounds one into left field, and unfortunately, it looked like it hit a bird. Oh, man. So a base hit for Brennan, and he's got his hands on his helmet. There was a bird walking around on the infield grass, and everybody kind of went, oh, gasp.
How about the timing of playing What's the Scenario, by the way? Like, just popped on in the background, just happens. But yeah, it's a hard ground ball, and there was just a bird on the field. And it hit the bird and did that again. Like, again, these things, like, how does this happen? And what are the odds of it happening the way it did? So, Just thought I'd share that with you. Just one of those weird things that happen in sports. And, you know, for people that love animals and whatnot, I understand. I probably, we heard it, but to see it, I'm sure, is something completely different because it's pretty sad. All right, we continue. So we mentioned Carmelo Anthony and his retirement from basketball and the debates about whether or not his number should retire and everything. First ballot Hall of Famer, though, that's a given. Just given. But we played some of it for you yesterday. He did have a video that he put on social media of him, and it was a really nice montage of him and, you know, through the years growing up, him voicing over it as he's sitting. First of all, it starts with him sitting in front of the camera talking. Then they do the whole montage, the voiceover and everything like that. Then it ends with him saying his piece, getting up and walking away. It was very well done. Well, it was so well done that LeBron James wanted you to know that it was actually his production company that did it.
Well, I kind of knew the announcement was going to happen because I shot the video a week ago that you guys seen today. So, people probably think I'm lying about that too, huh? I shot that video like a week ago, so I already knew the announcement was coming. Just didn't know which day, but it happened today. But it's still bittersweet, obviously.
LeBron famous, of course, for, you know, people like to catch him on things that he says he did or said. And then when you look back, you're like, nah, that never really happened, LeBron. But he likes to put himself into history. But that was the case. I mean, I guess if Melo wanted to have something done like that and done well, you would go to a friend who's got a production company that makes movies and say, hey, can you help me out with this? And that's what went down. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Now, Jets have their OTAs going on right now as we continue with Audio Files. It's Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. And, I mean, we've been kind of like just, you know, flinching at every tweet that's been put out because we haven't had great news. It was started off with Aaron Rodgers and tweaking his ankle, and you're a little worried about that. It is May. It is OTAs. I get it, but we are Jets fans, and we just panic about everything. And then there was Alan Lazard who went down and needed, you know, he got helped off the field, walked off the field with a trainer, didn't come back. Oh my God, did come back and finish his you know, finished drills. So fine. But we're still going to panic. But as we talked about yesterday, as we went through the power rankings, the ESPN Power Index, the Jets in the ESPN Power Rankings are I believe, what are they, sixth? I believe they're like within, obviously, the top 10. But when it comes to winning a Super Bowl, they're right there as well among the teams that are expected to win a Super Bowl. Remember I said they were at 4%? And it's them and the Lions at 4%. And I believe that's like sixth, tied for sixth, something like that. So Robert Saleh was asked about this, about how, you know, people really think your team can win it all. And his response?
In my opinion, I think 32 teams stand in front of their teams, or 32 coaches stand in front of their teams every year, talk about winning a championship. And then realistically, there's maybe six or eight teams that have an actual chance to do it. And I do think we are one of those teams. But none of it matters unless we do it. We take care of it today.
It's not a fun answer. I mean, yeah, every team believes they can win. But the Jets have reason to believe they can win. And the fact that other people believe that they can win. Let's start there. Like, when was the last time that you can recall the Jets being a team held with this kind of esteem? Let's just go with that. Because as I'm pulling up the rankings, the Jets, I was right, sixth. ESPN's Football Power Index, which is obviously a big analytic that puts all numbers together and spits out where teams rank, looking at their roster, their schedule, everything that they've got going for them. And the Jets are sixth with only the 49ers, Bengals, Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs ahead of them. That's it. So that's high expectations, or at least high praise for what they can be. And as for best chance to win the Super Bowl, 12 teams have at least a 3% chance to win the Super Bowl, according to ESPN's FPI. The Jets, okay, I have it. They're actually tied for seventh with the Lions. So I said sixth. Tied for seventh with the Lions at 4%. I had the percentage right. The Eagles are at 14%, the best chance. The Chiefs are at 13%, second best chance. Now, the two Super Bowl contenders from last season are 1-2, or actually 2-1 because the Chiefs were the winners. The 49ers are third at 11%. The 49ers at third at 11%. Who's their quarterback again? 49ers are third at 11%. The Bills are fourth at 9%. Bengals are also at 9%. The Cowboys are sixth at 7%. Cowboys? Yeah. Then Lions, Jets, and then these last four teams are all at 3%. Ravens, Chargers, Dolphins, Jaguars. For anyone wondering, where the hell are the Giants? You didn't mention the Giants. Well, I will tell you. To win the Super Bowl, the Giants are considered to have a 1.6% chance. So you're saying there's a chance. So after Jacksonville at 3%, it is Minnesota, Seattle, New Orleans, then the Giants. That's where they're at. Now, I get it. The Jets are at 4%, but it's really 3.9% if we're getting technical, just so you understand. That's why they are considered after the Lions, but barely after the Lions. We could debate that all you want. But Power Index is suggesting that the Jets are going to be the better team this year. Now, I love the playoff percentage one. And the playoff percentage one is the one that you really want to look at. And it's amazing that the Jets drop a little further down at 51.5% probability to make the playoffs. The Giants, 41.3%. We could play this game all day if you want. All different probabilities on these teams. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We discussed it in Audio Files. I mean, congratulating Mike Breen, back-to-back Emmys. For being he's a Hall of Famer, of course, but a great play-by-play. And all the greats, they have their signature calls, right? They all, and his is bang. I mean, there's just nothing better than that. But, you know, we all have our favorites, don't we? And there's a whole, like, we can go through the litany of them. And if I've missed any, let me know. But in New York, we've been blessed. We have some of the best over the years. And it goes as far back as, like, I grew up with Phil Rizzuto. And Phil Rizzuto's, you know, holy cow, like that. There was just nothing better than that. And that's one for sure, right? So that's on the list. Bang is obviously, see ya, Michael Kay. That's a given. That's there. You know, Marv Albert's, yes, and it counts. Like, you know, that's one for sure. Howie Rose, I love, like, if you're a Mets fan, which I'm not, but still, there's certain, like, there's different things that you love when an announcer does. Howie Rose, when the Mets win a game, because that's, like, the best part when you know the game is won, and put it in the books. You know, there's something cool about that because that's that feeling like we got them, right? Like, we locked it up. I mean, what am I missing any? What else am I missing, guys? You know, I already brought up Sam Rose, and it's a power play goal. Like, that's pretty cool. But it has to be a signature. You know, there's one thing, guys who are just great at making calls, you love that. Like, guys that you know, just terrific announcers. But the ones when you have your signature call, like, that's distinctive to you. Am I missing any, guys?
Don't forget the radio side of the Yankees.
It is high. It is far. It is. Pop foul. No.
Like, not recently.
That has happened. But no, that's obviously, that's a classic.
And of
well.
Course, when they win.
Oh, well, yeah, of course he stands up. The Yankees win. Like, you love that. And I guess that's a similar to put it in the books.
Dial it back to Mel Allen.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. Twib notes, right? This week in baseball. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, so if I'm missing any, let me know. I'd love to get people to call in on this. This is a fun topic to do. 800-919-3776. Because, like, and I guess it's the best for you, There's no way. We always love to power rank things. We always love to do that. Let's rank this. Let's rank that. But I don't know if we could really do that on these, because this is always about like what appeals to you most. Like greatness, we can make the levels of greatness based on players, but this is different because it's what matters to you, like what it means to you. Like, as I mentioned with Rizzuto and Holy Cow, that's just for me nostalgic. Like hearing that, if they play back an old, you know, an old Yankee highlight, like that's just like I will get wistful. That's nostalgic. But there's also like the Sia has such a, to me, and I've never told Michael this, I feel like K's Sia is like a punch in the jaw. Like that's what I love about it. It's aggressive, but it's done in a classic way. But it's just simply a quick jab right to the face, like, see ya. Like the way he delivers it, I've always felt that way when I've heard it. It's like when it's a home run and he gets to the point where he's about to drop the see ya, that's literally the knockout punch. And that's what a home run feels like a lot of times, is that's when you just completely it's a knockout punch. And you love that. Bang, kind of the same thing. But bang is like a euphoric celebration of a shot, a big shot, because you don't just get bang. Like, it's not like Marv used yes, but Marv used yes as just a way to let you know it went in. So it could just be like, you know, Frazier from 15, yes. Like just simple. Like, Mike Breen doesn't use bang on everything, you know, second free throw up and bang. Like, it doesn't do that. So bang is when it's special. It's got to be special. And if you get double bang, then you know it's legit. Again, the home run calls. But that's why I also like Howie Rose, who I greatly admire. The put it in the books is, again, a little bit of aggressive, like little New York of, that's like him closing the scorebook, like, we're done with you. We're done with this guy. Like, that's what put it in the books tells me. Done with these guys. That's aggressive, and I love that. So, you know, it means something to all of us in different ways. So if you've got a call, it's a signature to it. It has to be a signature call. Tell me which one is yours. 800-919-3776. Daryl's in Brooklyn. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Love your show. Just calling in.
Thank you. What do you got?
The greatest call I ever remember as a kid growing up was Howard Cosell with the Ollie and Frazier. Just the down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier. I mean, yeah. That was one of the greatest.
Yeah, that obviously was one of the most famous, right? Famous calls. And just, I think, Cosell's cadence on a lot of things, the way he talked to you and let you know how important you were in that moment, or at least because you were listening to the sound of his voice. Like that was, there's a lot of great Cosell stories out there, by the way. Anthony in Copeg, what do you got, Anthony?
One of my favorites is Mark Jackson. Mama, there goes that man.
Mama, there goes that man. Or hand down, man down, right? Like that's, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's, I love that one, Anthony. That's great. Yeah, Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, by the way, was a terrific player, very smart player. He was a good coach. He is because you enjoy his commentary basketball wise because of that kind of stuff. He was able to develop that, and you love those two. And those phrases have become part of basketball lexicon now. I mean, people say that. Now, Mama, there goes that man is his, that's his personal one. You don't really want to steal that too much. There's some, like Doris Burke will do an homage to it sometimes, but hand down, man down. I mean, how many times have we heard that? You can play in the park and you'll hear somebody yell that if they hit a J on you. We got Rolls in the car. Rolls.
Yeah, what's going on, hon? Just wanted to give my favorite calls as well. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say John Madden's boom was one.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I had the other one. Oh, and when Chris Berman would say, whoop, after somebody would catch a juke. And then another good one is welcome to your Kodak moment, Reggie Miller.
Oh, wow.
And that's all I got for you.
I appreciate it, Rolls. I didn't know I was going to get a Reggie Miller one in there. Like, if you bring up, if you're going to bring up Chris Berman, Boomer, then it's got to be, right? Back, right? Like that has to be one of them for sure. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Rob.
Yeah, forgive me if this one's been mentioned, but I haven't heard anyone talk about the Jack Buck. Hey, but being from the Detroit area, and I know Bart will here appreciate I said that right, if you are outside of the Boston area, the signature call for Johnny Most can both inspire and frustrate. Bird, steal the ball from Isaiah, and it makes my blood boil. And everyone outside Boston, that's his call.
Bird stole the ball. Bird stole the ball. Yeah, that's right. Throws it to DJ. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, when Bart's around, we're not allowed to bring that up at all. Now, what I was doing here was really more about New York. Did I fail to mention Gary Cohen? The it's out of here. Like that's for a Mets fan again. I don't think I mentioned Gary Cohen. It's out of here.
Yeah,
like
I think we went to Howie. We skipped over Gary.
Yeah, there's the one. Yeah, it's out of here. Like that's again. You hear it. The euphoria in his voice. Like that's sort of like the baseball version of Mike Breen's bang. Because I don't know if he does the it's out of here with the same. Like it's got to be a big home run, right? That's what it's got to be. So I was really more focused on New York, but I love that we're going all over the country with this stuff. Why not? Let's have fun with it. Gary on the road. Gary.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah, I got a couple favorites. Of course, Howard Cosell, Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Marv Albert, yes, right? Mm-hmm. Especially during the playoffs, just phenomenal. But the one I love listening to the most over and over, I'm not old, is Phil Rizzuto's call of Roger Maris's 61st home run.
Way back there! Right?
Yes, right? Last game of the season.
Yeah.
I think that's iconic. And just growing up with Phil Rizzuto and Bill White, listening to those two, grew my love of baseball.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, right. When Bill White was announcing games and Rizzuto and how much they would joke about the fact that he was already halfway across the George Washington Bridge heading home and the game wasn't over yet. Like, it's just something about that as a kid, it just meant a lot to me. We can have fun with this throughout the rest of the show. Why not?
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.